Okay, good evening. This is Bob Lederer, the Chair Pro Tem of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's April 28th, and we've waited half an hour, and it's now 9 o'clock Eastern. We don't have a quorum, but I will call the roll to see exactly who is here. From KPFA, Margie Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Janet Coburn. Not here. Mark Hernandez. Not here. Cynthia Johnson. Not here. From KPFK in Los Angeles, Kim Kaufman. Not here. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Fred Blair. Not here. Michael Novick.
Present.
Okay. And from KPFT in Houston, Hank Lamb. Not here. Richard Uzel. Not here. Teresa Allen. Teresa, can you hear me?
Allen says here.
Okay. Maria Elena Castellanos.
Right here.
Okay. And from WBAI in New York, Carolyn Burden said she can't make it. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Bob Lederer here. Frank Lefever said that he can't make it. From WPFW in Washington, Jim Brown said he can't make it. And Jane Zara.
Here.
Okay. All right. So we have 8, and a quorum is 10 out of our 18 current members. So unfortunately, we're too short of a quorum. Yes.
Am I mistaken, or did you miss somebody who is part of the elections committee from KPFT, Richard Uzel?
I called his name, and he didn't respond.
Okay.
All right. So since we're short of a quorum, all we can do is hear if there's any urgent matters people want to report on. We can hear that, not take any action, and then the one action we can take is to set a next meeting date. So is there any report that someone would like to make?
Sure, Serene.
Go ahead.
So just to update people on what's happening with the CND committee elections in general, the last LSB to hold its elections was Houston, so Houstonians are now on all of the, all of the CND committees, meaning delegates. And there are 3 elections that need to happen that are in the process of happening right now, actually, finally, on the Pacifica National Board. We had actually agreed at the in-person meeting in February that people who signed the sign-up sheet, you know, where there was no competition for seats, we'd move ahead with that, and the rest we'd do balloting for. But there were objections constantly to us closing it when we were online. Finally, on the 17th, which was about a week and a half ago, we got agreement to have the ballots sent to the national office. To be sent to KPFK. We had previously agreed to have it sent to the national office, but obviously, for reasons I won't go into, that has not been practical in terms of witnesses or much else for the past month and a half, and that's been, you know, that's been a problem. But we did manage to get agreement to have the ballots sent to Terry Goodman, who is the former PND election committee chair, actually, and is the present KPFK election teller, and to John Gary III, who is the current KPFK LSB secretary, and he's been that for several years, I believe, and he was also previously a PND secretary. So they are going to... they're receiving the director's ballots, and there will be a public vote count on May 6th, which is a Tuesday. I'll send you guys the email about that later on. Elections in three categories. So financing, on the finance committee at K, there are 2 directors interested, Lydia Bazan and Kim Kaufman at A. Also in finance, Brian Edwards-Tigard and Janet Coburn are both interested, and in finance you can only have 1 director. And for programming in K, there are 3 interested directors. Rodrigo Agueta, Kim Kaufman, and Lawrence Reyes, and there are two seats. So those are the three elections that are being handled right now. That's it for me by way of update.
Okay. Any questions for Serene?
I have a question for everyone in general.
Sure. Is this Maria Elena?
Yes, but I'll wait until you...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And that is regarding just general requirements around capacity or legal capacity or otherwise to stand as a candidate for election to the LSB and as a candidate for participation in any of the Pacifica PNB committees. And the question has to refer to, I refer to specifically, are there any specific legal handicaps in terms of age or in terms of residency or in terms of voting residency or in terms of criminal convictions that would bar a candidate from either being elected to a local station board or to be part of a PNB committee?
Does someone want to answer that?
This is Jane Zare from D.C.
Go ahead.
I mean, all I know from the bylaws is you can't be running for office or be an elected official. In terms of a person with a criminal record, I would think that, and I don't know, but I would think that since Pacifica, you know, wants to represent the underrepresented, that having a criminal record wouldn't necessarily bar someone from being able to participate. And I would oppose that or try to oppose it in any formal manner.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too, that as far as I know, the only restrictions are those listed in the bylaws where it says very specifically what are the qualifications and the disqualifications for running for the LSB, which are identical for running for the PNB, except that for the PNB, the addition is that you must have served, or if you're a representing a local station board, you must have served 1 year on the LSB. But other than that, there are no... You know, and the one that Jane mentioned, which is you can't be either a candidate or candidate for public office or hold a public office.
Okay, so. And just to follow up on that question, I agree with you, Jane, with regard to, you know, the mission of Pacifica as being that of being a voice for the voiceless or to serve the underserved. I agree with that interpretation of Pacifica's mission, but the reason I raise that question is because I know in the state of Texas, with regard to certain candidates for public office, and I believe, and I was told, I should say, but I have to see the actual statute, the Federal Communications Commission bars convicted felons from serving on its PNB or local station boards. So, again, that's why I raised the question. Even though my sympathies are definitely, and my interpretation of Pacifica's mission are definitely congruent to Jane's. But that's why I raised it.
This is Suri.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, the LSB is merely a committee. I shouldn't say merely. I don't mean that it's significant. But I think whatever, if there is such a provision, and I'd like to see the documentation on that. I'm not questioning it. I just hadn't heard it. Don't remember having heard that before. But such a provision, I would think, would not apply to the LSBs, which are committees of the board, as opposed to the board itself, the national board itself. And, you know, I'm quite sure we've,
be interested in seeing some documentation on that. I wanted to raise one more thing before we go.
Well, hold on. Before you raise a different topic, I want to respond to Maria Elena's question. I actually served on the PNB when this question came up, and it was researched by the attorney, and the answer that I'm 99% sure I recall hearing was that there is not an absolute bar by the FCC on a board member of a licensed station serving, that there's not a bar on a convicted felon serving on the board. What there is a requirement that it must be declared to the FCC, and there might be some waiver or something like that that has to be issued by the rest of the board saying, we are aware of this person's background, but, you know, we permit them to serve on the board or something like that. But there's my pretty strong recollection is there's no absolute bar. It's more a disclosure issue.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Serene.
Yeah, I just want to go on record as objecting to the term felon. I know that our prison program here in New York has made a strong effort to educate people about the use of the use of terms that dehumanize the people so branded. So we don't refer to people as prisoners. We refer to them as incarcerated or formerly incarcerated, you know, people. So I would prefer if we would not use the term felons. They're people who have been convicted of a crime, and I think we all know that there are many wrongful convictions.
Okay, good point.
The term felon is used as opposed to misdemeanor.
Okay, so Serene, why don't you go on to your other point, and then we'll talk about a next meeting.
Yeah, so I just am wondering if we could talk about this. Well, okay, it was about the next meeting date, and the other point was about the elections, national election supervisor, who if things were normal, should be in place. Well, should have been in place in March, but even according to the new posting, the newest posting, should be in place in 3 days, 2 days, which is not going to happen. I just wanted to remind people that the notice is on Pacifica.org. And that they should forward it to, you know, groups and organizations that they know have some interest or work with elections, and particularly places where they think we might get someone who would work for cheap, if not for free.
Okay.
And the other thing was about trying to choose a night for a meeting. And Mondays are good because nobody else seems to like them. But based on the attendance tonight, it appears that we are also among that nobody else category. What do people think about trying to do a Wednesday or Thursday?
Well, can I suggest, since we have so few people, that the question we just look at tonight is just the one-shot next meeting rather than an ongoing date? So I have the KPFTX calendar in front of us, and unfortunately a lot of Wednesdays and Thursdays are already taken in May. So first of all, I heard a beep. Did a new person join us?
Hi, this is Kim. Is this a meeting?
Yes, it is. Hi, Kim. Thanks for joining us. We're unfortunately still short of quorum, so we're just setting a date for the next meeting.
Well, I would like to talk about this these committee elections. This seems the appropriate place that they're not being done properly, that there was a vote to do it by email, but we did not vote to have the tallies done remotely, and my understanding is that all elections need to be, you know, tallied in public, and this is, you know, not, so I'm not really uncomfortable with having it tallied not in public, number one, and then one of the voters sort of voted and then sent his ballot out, but he only sent it to Serene and Lydia and Margie, and I'm not aware that they have special privileges of getting the ballots. So there seem to be some inherent problems with these committee elections, and I don't know what the election committee can do, but this would be the first place of sort of bringing it up for attention, but
Okay, well, thank you for that. At this point, we can't conduct business because we don't have quorum. We did.
But I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, no, I will call on you in a second. I'm just explaining where we're at to Kim. So, so we can't take any action tonight, but we can certainly discuss it. And Serene did give an update on the situation before you came on the call. So, Serene and whoever else wants to comment on what was just said. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so there's some misunderstandings. The CMB motion authorized Terry Goodman, as I just said, Terry Goodman and John Derry, to handle the balloting. I have made it clear, in fact, to the member on this same issue that while Mr. Goodman will not be at the station, Mr. Gary will be at the station. They will be connected by telephone. They will be performing the same actions at two different locations, which actually is even better than having everybody in one location, but that people who wanted to witness the count could show up at KPFK to do so, because John Doe will be printing the ballots out at that location. Further, it is a secret ballot, which members send back to the people who are doing the tabulation. If a member chooses to send their ballot to others, it is, one, not a violation, and two, not really anybody else's concern. It's the member's choice because it's their ballot. And it's curious how this person who wasn't on the list they announced as the recipient list is even aware of this. But, computers are interesting things.
Yeah, I don't know how I got. This is Kim. Can I respond?
Sure. 1 second. I heard another voice. Did someone else?
Lawrence.
Okay.
Lawrence.
Yeah. Since Lawrence hasn't spoken yet, go ahead and then Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just want to say that this count at KPFK is going to be done in the public, so anybody's welcome to attend and witness the count. So. There's nothing being done in secret, so I don't know. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Terry Goodman is the one that generally tabulates this because he understands the voting process. He will not be at this location. He will be remote. John Gary does not know how to tabulate. The tabulator has always been in the room for the public count. Okay, so whatever process this is now, Serene, is not what you presented to us for the vote. Period. I mean, you did not say in the vote that Terry Goodman would be off-site somewhere remotely tabulating the ballots. So that is new information to us when we received your message. I don't think this is proper procedure. I think if we're going to do election in the public, we should have somebody to tabulate the votes who can be present in the room, period.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing your opinion. Bob, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Would you put
I would.
Wait, hold on, Serene. Was that Jane?
No, Maria Elena.
Maria
would
Elena.
You put me on the set?
Yeah, you haven't spoken yet on this. Why don't you go ahead, and then I'll come back to Serene.
I wanted to speak to another related matter regarding elections, but not...
okay. Yeah, then hold off on that till we finish this. Go ahead, Serene.
Yeah, I would just point out, I shared this information with the member over the weekend when she asked the question. The LSB elections were done in Long Island, New York, way out of public reach from Berkeley, Washington, D.C., Houston, and L.A. So remote, quote, remote tabulation is hardly foreign. The PNB approved it, and it happened 2 years ago, which is the last time we had elections. And I reiterate that there will be a human being in a publicly accessible space with exactly the same ballot information, because people are returning. The instructions are that you return your ballots to both of those people. One person will be wherever he is. The other person will be in person. I'm not going to bore you guys by repeating it. It is, I think, abundantly clear what the process is.
Okay. So can we? I think
I'd like one more comment, Bob.
Okay, I really hope we can wrap this up because we can't make any decisions tonight. So
yeah, I understand. I mean, I just want to, you know, I mean, Serene can, you know, repeat what she said, and I'm going to repeat what she said. Number one, the fact that Terry Goodman would not be in the room is new information. It's not, you know, we've never done it this way. The LSB elections in Long Island, anybody could go out there, and I believe Bob Lederer did show up to oversee the tabulations, or other people went out there and did it. It was not done in off-site in some remote location where nobody knew where it was. I mean, I'm just shocked because Terry Goodman shows up for, you know, all of this stuff, and why suddenly he's going to be doing it somewhere else is unusual, and it was not presented to us. It's new information. You can insist, Serene, it's proper. I'm insisting it is not. And there we go. We can't decide anything, and we both have different opinions. And I think that at least the issue is out there, and people can weigh in who are familiar with elections.
Oh, and Bob?
Yes.
I actually was in Long Island for the balloting, as I believe you were some of the time. And what we witnessed was the opening of the envelopes. The balloting was done by the company back in its office, not at the location where we witnessed them opening and separating. But we should move on because I don't know what, you know, really.
Okay. No, like I said, we've thoroughly aired this and we can't do anything tonight, so why don't we move on? Maria Elena had an issue, and then we need to set our next meeting date. But go ahead, Maria Elena.
First of all, my understanding is that elections are carried out 2 years consecutively, and then there's a third year that's fallow. I don't know if that's correct or not.
That's what the bylaw says, yes.
Okay, so we were due to have elections in 2013, but because of whatever, we were not able to carry those out, correct?
Right.
So now what we have is a third or approximately a third to a fourth of the LSBs whose 3-year terms have expired. Is that correct, as of 2013?
I don't know the proportions. I think they vary depending on which LSBs didn't reach quorum last time. So some of them, I think all the members of the terms have expired. But, yeah, it's a significant chunk at least at each LSB.
So what I was trying to determine were two things. Number one, you know, exactly what it's going to take to ensure that elections are carried out, particularly in those areas, and I assume all of them have the same proportion of delegates on their local station boards whose term expired in 2013. But my point is this: at this point in time, I'm wondering, in the event that we're unable to expeditiously and effectively plan for and carry out elections this year, is there a different kind of rule that we could propose to add to the bylaws, or would that be more complex in getting that passed, whereby when we have elections that are not carried out and we have people whose 3-year terms have expired, could we consider making provision for people down the line in that ballot who were, whatever, runners-up, to then substitute in or take the place of those expired term delegates on the local station boards until the next election is allowed to take place? Because there is a real possibility that we're not even going to have elections in 2014.
Sorry,
Okay. So, yeah, I'll call on people, but can I suggest that this is a very in-depth discussion, that we not go too deep tonight?
Okay.
I mean, it's fine to ask a question. We can have maybe a couple of preliminary comments, but I would say let's not get into a long debate about what we should do with questions. But go ahead, Serene.
I just wanted to say that there's a difference between someone who has someone for whom the term to which they've been elected has expired and someone who has stayed past their term maximum. So the people who have served 6 continuous years must leave the board on the anniversary of their seating, whether or not, you know, whether or not we have elections. And that's different. That's a different category from people who have served more than their 3-year term or their 1-year term, or if they inherited a piece of a term or whatever. It's different. Those are very different matters. There should not be anyone ever on a board, whether or not we've been able to afford the elections, that has been serving for more than 6 continuous years. There are in stations, and it is different, because there are stations where they did not meet quorum, so their people continued. Whereas in, let's say, BAI and I know that in Berkeley, we definitely made quorum. I think Houston finally made quorum also. I don't believe DC made quorum. So there, they have people who stayed over last year.
Yeah, and we also had donors too. We cycled in.
Who's this, Jane?
Yeah, I believe I'm going to take it back to D.C. and report what our situation is, because we have run out of candidates, even if we roll through the run.
Right, but even when you run out of candidates, the bylaws allow the board to select someone, and it doesn't have to be someone who ran in the last election. There's an allowance for a board to identify people to become members until the next election. But I didn't quite get from what Maria Elena was saying that she was separating people who've stayed past their 1 or 3 year terms from people who have been on the board for close to 6 years. Nobody should be able to go over that 6-year limit.
Well, I understand the distinction, and I should have made that distinction. I was not referring to people who have already met the 6 consecutive years limit. I was referring to less than 6 years.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and it's just a point of consideration. It's not. I'm not positing. I'm not making a proposal or anything. It's just something to consider.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a very important issue to bring up, and we'll definitely be talking about that at our next meeting. So let's focus now on what that date should be. So who just joined?
This is Cynthia Johnson from Berkeley.
Oh, hi, Cynthia. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Bob.
I think
I'm sorry
point,
to be late.
That's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, actually, that makes quorum.
It's a quorum.
So, Michael, are you in a position to call the roll now?
I guess, let me see.
Well, that's okay. I'll do it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, just give me 1 second.
What is quorum? I can do it if you need it, Bob.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, quorum is 10.
What number is quorum?
10.
10.
Michael, I'll send you a bill later. From KPFA, Margie Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Janet Coburn. Mark Hernandez. Cynthia Johnson.
Here.
From KPFK, Kim Kaufman. Kim? Pound Pound One. Lawrence Reyes.
I'm here.
Okay, Fred Blair, Michael Novick, from KPFT, Hank Lamb, Richard is not going to be here, oh, well, no, he said he might, Richard Uzel, Teresa Allen,
present,
thank you, Maria Elena Castellanos,
Castellanos.
Carolyn Burton. Serene Roberts is present. Bob Letterer.
Here.
LeFevre said he would not be here. Jim Brown. Jane Sala.
Yeah, here.
I'm getting nine, but I think we're getting nine because Kim didn't answer. But when I checked on the call, it says there are 11 people. And, you know, since Bill Crozier is streaming, he would be number 11. But there are 10 other people on the phone.
Kim, are you with us? Well, we can't actually move forward until we
people. Now I'm hearing that there are 10. There were 11 just before I started calling.
All right. So Kim Kaufman, are you with us? Wow, that's really too bad. Well, I'm afraid we don't have any choice then but to pick another date for our meeting and adjourn until then. Maybe.
Can I ask?
Yes, go ahead.
So, say for instance, somebody sent a secret ballot, right? And by mistake, send it to a list. That doesn't mean that the guy is going to get torn feather, right? It just means that they lose their anonymity, right, in terms of who they voted for,
That's right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. So I guess we should choose the date for the next meeting. So earlier, Serene suggested that we pick a different night of the week for the next meeting. We're only going to set the next meeting right now. Hold on, let me pull up KPFTX. Okay. So, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is booked, with the exception of Tuesday the 13th. But I'm unavailable on that date. And then the next date that's free is Thursday, May 22nd. Does anyone? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I see May 20th. Tuesday, May 20th is available. So let's start with that. Tuesday, May 20th. Does anyone have a problem with that date?
Well, I have a little. Okay, the meeting would start at 8:30 Eastern.
Correct.
Okay. I will be working until approximately 8:40.
8:40 Eastern or your time?
Eastern, but I mean I can join after that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's probably the time it'll take at least to get one. So that wouldn't be a conflict. Does anyone else have a problem with Tuesday, May 20th? Okay, well, hearing no objections, then the decision of the Elections Committee is to hold its next meeting on Tuesday, May 20th at 8:30 Eastern Time. And let me just remind again, all the new members who've gotten invitations to join the Yahoo groups, please respond so that you can be on the listserv to get all the notices about the meetings and our other business and discussion that goes on online. Okay, so is there any other last urgent comment that needs to be made?
No, this is Margie. I just want to ask a question about attendance.
Sure.
At some point, I think I was told that there's no such thing as an excused absence from
That's
a committee
right.
meeting, and that if you miss three meetings in a row, you're off the committee. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Here's how it goes. The PNB passed a policy quite a few years ago that said committees are different than the PNB itself in terms of how absences are dealt with. And so the concern is about absence for whatever reason. I'm not getting into the merits of the policy, but the policy states that after two consecutive absences, the chair of the committee is to contact the person who's been absent by both email and phone in order to alert them that if they don't come to the third consecutive meeting, they will be automatically removed. There's not a vote to remove them. They're just automatically off. Then if it's an LSB representative, then the LSB must elect the replacement. If it's PNB, then the PNB must elect the replacement. So that's how it works.
Okay. Great.
Michael, to the sec?
Yes, Michael.
Does that mean whether or not there's a quorum or only if there's
no,
a quorum
that's only,
meeting?
That's only applied to quorumed meetings.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
I see. Between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
So does my attendance on this meeting count as attendance,
no.
You're saying, or not?
No, it does not.
All right, well, this is actually...
Which also means that the absence of anyone from tonight's meeting will not count as one of their three absences.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
May I raise a question, Maria?
Yes.
Here?
Sure.
Is this a common sense interpretation of this rule? I mean, because if you apply your common sense, and none of the absences count as being an absent, then essentially we could have a situation where the committee is totally paralyzed. We will never have quorum, and we will never have the opportunity to replace people who, you know, who fall into that rule of three consecutive absences. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like a common sense interpretation of this rule that would allow a committee to function. I mean, I don't get it. I accept it if that's how they interpret the rule and it's laid out there. It doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to other people?
That's what Margie was referring to when she talked about being between a rock and a hard place, because your absence can prevent the committee from working as a committee, but it doesn't count against you because your absence denied the committee quorum. But I think it's important that we should take, quote, attendance when this happens, and if there is, in fact, a pattern of particular people not being present and therefore preventing quorum, that the LSB should be advised so that
well,
person...
Well, before I get advised tonight...
I'm sorry?
Who's tonight on the call? Maybe we have quorum now.
Well, actually, Hank, I think you're number 10, so that makes quorum.
No, we still don't have quorum because there are only 10 people now, and Bill is one of them. Bill, a streamer, is one of them. So
actually, I did remember hearing a beep about 3 minutes ago. It sounded like somebody... Did anyone else new join?
No, someone has dropped off. That's why I said I've been getting 11, I've been getting 10.
No,
11,
I was just checking.
10.
I was just checking to make sure. So that was the sound of someone leaving. So unfortunately, we're back down to 9. And, Hank, we just set our next meeting date for, for the 20th.
For the 20th.
May 20th.
20th,
and
okay.
To be honest, I want to move to adjourn because I'm not about to start a meeting at 9:41.
Right. No, I was just about to do that. So, yeah. So, at this point, we've done the business we can do as a non-quorum meeting, and the meeting is adjourned. So, thank you all. We'll see you on May 20th.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good night.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.